and welcome to Bookness with me, Jo Maddox.
And me, Alice Evans.
We are here at the Centre for the Study of the Book in the Bodleian Library, Oxford. And today we are very happy to be joined virtually by book artist and designer Ben Denzer.
Ben, thank you for joining us for what everybody is calling the inaugural episode of Bookness.
Amazing. Honoured to be here.
We are in a quite damp and drizzly Oxford today. Where in the world are you?
That's great, because I'm in a damp and drizzly Boston, Massachusetts in the United States.
Thank you as well, Ben, for joining us. So each of these episodes, we're focusing on one object. And with you, that's your book, 20 Slices, which we have a copy of, which is currently on display in the Western Library in Oxford, downstairs from where Jo and I are now. We want to start with asking if you could physically describe it for us, please. What is 20 Slices?
Yeah, so the book is 20 Slices, and kind of it's the longer title is 20 Slices of American Cheese. And it's a book that's made of 20 individual slices of American cheese. Kraft American Singles is the brand, and they come individually wrapped in plastic. So each slice, I forget the exact size, but it's something like 3.4 inches by 3.4 inches. The book itself is 3.5 inches by 3.6 inches by 2.5 inches, if you want the actual dimensions. And so it's 20 individually wrapped slices that have been bound together within a hardcover case. And the case is covered in yellow book cloth. And on the front, it says 20 slices. On the spine, it says American Cheese. And it also has the little imprint mark for Catalog Press, which is the name of the kind of publisher in which I produce these books.
And so cheese, you chose to make this out of cheese. And in Bookness, we're focusing on artist books, which possibly have unusual material choices. I just wanted to ask you, what drew you to that material?
Yeah. It kind of came from a few places. You know, I like cheese, so that's one of them. But I was kind of, I make books and publish them as Catalog Press. And I like thinking about books as catalogs. You know, sometimes that's catalogs of, you know, text, like, you know, a typical book might be. Sometimes that's catalogs of images. But I was also thinking about the book as kind of a catalog of physical objects. And I was also just trying to push and prod, you know, what like a book could be. And I, you know, I was walking in a grocery store and saw this pack of American cheese slices and thought, you know, hey, this is already basically a book. You know, these things look like pages. They're kind of packed together. There's an order. So all I really did was bind those together and give them the cover. And I thought it was interesting how it, you know, just becomes a book through that process, you know, when it's also kind of a found object.
And you bind them yourself.
Yeah. For all these books, I kind of, in some cases, design them, you know, plan them out, and then make them myself by hand.
And I have to ask, what is cheese like to work with? Because that's very different from binding a book made of paper, I can imagine.
Totally. So the you know, the pages, as it were, are, you know, American cheese that's wrapped in plastic and then kind of, you know, sealed with a little bit of, you know, stickiness. So the plastic is closed. And so when I first thought I would bind them together, I tried a few different things. You know, I tried poking holes and sewing, you know, through them, but then, you know, kind of realized then the cheese gets out, you know, more quickly than it would if you wait for the adhesive to, you know, last as long as it can. So I ended up using a glue that can glue to plastic. So it's this glue, like I think E6000 is the name of this glue. It's kind of a super glue that works with plastic. It still has a little bit of flexibility. So the book is actually kind of a perfect bound book where it's just glued along the spine. And then, you know, I kind of glued a little sheet of paper on there too.
So 20 Slices, as we've said, is currently on display in Sensational Books exhibition downstairs, which means that it's being seen daily by a lot of people coming into the library. And we have a lot of school groups in particular that come around. And the school kids are absolutely fascinated by 20 Slices. They love it. It's the high point of the exhibition for them. One of the questions that we get asked a lot is, how is this a book? Do you think of it as a book? Do you think of it as a work of art that looks a bit like a book? And is that distinction important to you?
I think of it as a book, but I also have a very broad definition of a book, I think. I think of lots of things in this category of like artist book, maybe, that kind of blurs the lines. Like for me, an artist book is kind of the definition I've come up with for myself, is a book where kind of the form or the idea or the like the concept behind it is almost as important than the contents that are within it. Whereas normal books, it's like the contents or like the story or the words that are the most important thing. But I think of it, you know, as a book. You know, it's, if you had a book that was the same size, but it was just pictures of American cheese slices bound together, I don't think anyone would really question that, you know, in the same way. And I don't think there's that much of a difference of just having the real slices versus having, you know, pictures that are printed on pages. I think it's a book.
Thanks. That's a great answer. The other question that we get asked a lot by the kids is, does it smell like cheese? Do you have a copy there? And can you tell us if it does smell like cheese?
Yeah. So I made this book as an edition of 10. So I do have a copy here, and it's one that I haven't taken as like that I've kind of showed in places where it was in sun for a while. And so it's not in the best shape of all these books, but it does smell like cheese. And as it gets older, it smells, you know, more and more like older cheese.
Thank you.
In the exhibition, it's currently locked away at the moment behind glass, so we haven't been able to sniff it recently. It's also rotating in a mini fridge. Again, it's kind of just reminding people that it is food. Yeah,
totally.
One of the other works of yours that we have in the collection is 60,000 Immortal Individuals, which is a work probably about anonymity versus immortality and the way some information about people persists, whereas other information is lost. Is immortality something that is interesting to you? And in connection with that, how do you feel about your work being in a collection like the Bodleian, which has 100% retention policy and it will stay here kind of in perpetuity?
Yeah, totally. I think those topics are really interesting to me. And I think what I kind of like about the cheese book existing within this context of, you know, you say immortality, but, you know, the library is never going to get rid of it, but, you know, is the library immortal? You know, definitely not. And it's just a question of how long. And so what I like about the cheese book is, like all books, you know, as conservators, you know, you're probably working every day to keep all these books going, and normal books last, you know, longer than us people do, but, you know, eventually everything kind of turns to dust. And so what I like about the cheese book is it kind of flips that relationship between people and books. And so, you know, in a lot of ways it degrades faster than us people do. And I think it's kind of also in some ways a little bit of a, you know, reminder that all books do that. But I do like that it's there, you know, as long as the library is. And I think there's something fun about having kind of a live object like this in that context.
Yeah, very much. It feels alive in our collection, I have to say. And you said it's an edition of 10, and you've got one, and we've got one. So are the other eight, have they all gone to big public institutions with a similar policy, do you know?
So I made 10, I think I made 12. I have two artist proofs. I think I have one of the artist proofs. And a few have gone to various kind of like university collections like Oxford. And I haven't talked to all of them. I know some do have, you know, this policy where everything stays in the library. I think some might, you know, have a different policy. And if the book kind of molds too much, maybe they might then decide to dispose of it. There was recently, I had a conversation with the conservators at NYU, and they're trying to think about, you know, they want to keep it forever, and they're thinking about ways to maybe could they refresh the cheese, you know, to if it's they want to for them. And kind of for me, it's also important that people get to like see this book, and so if it gets to a point where there's too much aliveness, you know, or mold on it, that it's not safe to be shown to people in a normal context, you know, I think it's an interesting question there on what do you put it in a glass box. I think like Tufts might be putting their book in just a plexiglass box and letting kind of nature take its course. And I really like that, you know, solution.
Audley's librarian glossary check.
Thanks, Richard. Just chipping in to glossary check Tufts. Tufts is a university in Greater Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States of America. Back to Ben.
And another solution is, you know, do you try and replace the cheese with new cheese so that it, you know, has a new lifespan again?
Yeah, I've seen some photos of, I think it's the NYU one. It looks a bit different from ours now because ours is still very fresh and lovely.
Yeah, not to boast, but ours is pristine.
Yeah, pristine. So you've obviously engaged in a dialogue with conservators there, and you said the question has been posed about replacing the cheese, for example. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I kind of feel fine about it because, well, first of all, I like that there's different solutions happening with different editions of the book, kind of. I think for me, I kind of make the thing and, you know, put it out in the world. And it's interesting to see the different responses and the different ways people decide to take care of it or not. But I think there's, like, for me, the important thing is that there's actual cheese in this, you know, book, and that people can interact with it in that way. And I think if, you know, conservators are able to, you know, replace the cheese slices in some way, that it kind of becomes fresh again, I don't think there's anything really totally wrong with that.
As you've said, different copies have aged differently. Do you have any thoughts as to why that might be? Could there possibly have been different batches of cheese? Is that something that might have been different?
Yeah, I think there's a few factors. I think the cheese is like chemically engineered to like almost not even be cheese. So I feel like it's probably pretty consistent.
Yeah, that's what we know as well.
Yeah, I think the difference is kind of, I made, you know, them, and then I kept them in different libraries, purchased them at different times. And I had some in my fridge originally, and then I had some not in my fridge originally. After talking to different conservators, the best strategy seems to be like, it's not the cold that is the most important thing, but it's kind of like the humidity. So having a low humidity in environment, I think. So some of it is like, I wasn't taking as good of care as I could have of these objects perhaps. And then I think some of them, like the one at Tufts, I know is like really molding. But I think that's because their librarian is so active as like bringing this to classes and students coming to the library and, you know, touching it. And so I think the cheese itself, if it just sat in a room, you know, with perfectly sanitary, nothing would like happen to it. But I think it can serve as a little bit of like a petri dish if people, if somehow one of those little, you know, plastic containers has a little, you know, hole and people kind of touch it and move it all the time. I think that's what can cause that. But I also like that that's the way the book changes. And, you know, it's interesting how it changes differently in these different places because of the different conditions. And, you know, probably all books in libraries do that in different libraries, but, you know, you don't see it as much.
And that's really interesting as well, that the readers have a role in the destruction process, which is exactly, like you say, the same thing as any book in the library. If a book's never read, then it fares much better yeah. over many hundreds of years than the ones that are super popular.
And the question of accessibility versus kind of preservation is, I guess, something that we think about with every object.
Yeah, because, yeah, completely.
And I suppose with ours, does come out for teaching a fair amount.
Oh, yeah.
But at the moment, it's quite nice that it's in that exhibition, but behind glass. So it is super accessible in one sense because members of the public from all walks of life are going through and it's sparking something for them. It's making people ask those questions. But it's not being directly handled at that point. So yeah, it's how we use our books in a teaching collection like this is, yeah, obviously does play a part in something alive, like a cheese book.
Totally. And you mentioned that the readers play a part in like the book's destruction, but you could also think of it as, you know, the readers play a part in like the book's writing, you know, or the book's life in some ways. It might be like more like co-authorship, because if someone, you know, brings a little spore of mold that somehow gets in and, you know, starts a process of growing, I think that's kind of, you know, it's just the book changing and living over time. And I think people would probably disagree with that, but I think, you know, I'm also fascinated by books that have, you know, holes from, you know, worms and other things. And to me, that makes the book really interesting. Like that might be a manuscript that has interesting pictures, but I like wouldn't necessarily care about those pages or that book unless it had that intervention. So to me, I think it's more co-authorship, I guess.
Yeah, that's really interesting because in our work in conservation, we're always looking for evidence and insect holes and signs of damage from the reader or use of the book and what that can tell us about the object's life and where it's been. And as Joe mentioned earlier, we do have some of your other books in our collection made of more traditional materials. But of course, you do have lots of work made from other more unusual things, other foods, for example. Where have they ended up? And do you see them in a similar sort of way that they are these things that are going to be changing and evolving?
Yeah, no, I do. And some books evolve a little less, you know, fast. Like there's a book of Splenda sweeteners that's like Splenda sweetener packets. And those, you know, I don't think change quite as rapidly. But I have a book of kind of five ketchup packets that I actually kind of made and sold at the Whitney Museum gift shop, kind of because it kind of related to an Andy Warhol exhibit they were having where Andy Warhol filmed himself eating a cheeseburger with Heinz ketchup bottle next to him. And so this is a book of five Heinz ketchup packets. And that book kind of does change, and it changes a little bit almost more violently than the cheese book does, in the sense that I think there's still some like active, you know, ingredient in ketchup that over time those packets slowly expand. And again, this depends on the conditions that you're in, but those I think people bought at the gift shop, and I've also kind of sold some like some kind of libraries purchased them as well. But so a friend of mine kind of had one, and she sent me a photo of this book that had kind of one of the ketchup packets had popped, you know, on her shelf. And so there's like a little bit of ketchup running down her shelf out of one of the pages of this book. But it totally depends. But that book, like kind of the book gets pressed open by the pages expanding over time in this really interesting way. And then I made kind of a companion book to the 20 slices of American cheese, which is 20 slices of meat. It's 20 slices of kind of mortadella deli meat. And I made this as a visiting artist at the University of Michigan's book art studio. And I kind of, they have a famous deli there called Zingerman's. And I kind of went and they showed me all the meats and then kind of got different slices of mortadella. And I made this book. And that book obviously has a much, much shorter lifespan.
How many copies of that did you make?
I made a single copy, and it was right at the end of COVID when I made it. We were finding someone at a neighboring university who was worked in their kind of a biology lab where they preserved kind of biological specimens. And so he was going to encase it in a clear block of plastic so that it could at least be kind of seen, you know, for a long time. But because of COVID and him getting kicked out of his lab, it became a thing where he tried to do it in his kind of backyard garage. And so it's in a block of resin, but it's not the best looking at the moment. So hopefully I'll get back there and go to Zingerman's and make another kind of edition of the book that we can try and preserve in a slightly different way.
Oh, that's amazing.
So what's next? What are you working on right now?
Yeah. So right now I'm working on the most recent catalog press book is a book that's going to be called 2222 Accidental Vanity Plates. And so in the, you know, cars have license plates, and in the United States, at least you can kind of, it's a combination of letters and numbers, and people can pay to have their license plate say something, you know, funny. But there are a lot that are just kind of random combinations of letters and numbers, because often the letters are in three letter chunks that accidentally say something. So there'll be a license plate that's like 2 cat 46, and you know, it's something that this person didn't pay for. It's just the random luck of the draw. So I've been collecting photos of these. I'm going to compile them in a book as a catalog, because I'm interested in this kind of, you know, finding meaning out there in the world by looking at these things.
Amazing. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for inviting me on. It's so exciting that, you know, this book is there, and, you know, it's getting shown to people, and it's, you know, starting conversations around what is the book. So just feel honored. So thanks again.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Bookness. Follow the link in the podcast information to see photos of 20 slices. And if you're in Oxford before the 4th of December 2022, you can see the book in real life as part of the Sensational Books exhibition at the Western Library.
Join us next time when we'll be talking to Yota Dimitriou about her work, To You, a book that is printed with ink which responds to the touch of the reader.
See you then!